Again, we, in other words, we all share this, all three of the purveyors in this area, in other words, the S&T, the CSD, and Golden State, all share this upper aquifer. It's not Golden State's aquifer, it's not CSD's aquifer, and it sure as heck isn't Sunset Terrace aquifer. And so I'm just afraid that being the type of company that the Golden State is, they are going to act like the 400-pound gorilla and push their way through. One other point I'd like to make is that as a conserver of water, my wife and I, since the first year I've been keeping track of it, we have been using 8 units every 2 months, and that is that's about.
Gwen Taylor, good evening. When the PUC representatives were here in Los Osos, this room was approximately 3/4 filled. This application does not specifically say Los Osos per se. It is an application for Golden State, which also takes in the Edna Valley as well as the Country Club area. There were people here in this room that were irate, and I use the word again, irate, to think that they were going to be finding a 50% increase in their water rates. Apparently, they have a large land holdings in that area, and they sat here in this room and gave facts and figures, which I did not keep track of because I was under the impression that they were going to be heard to a point where they would have as much say as we do. Are you trampling on these people's right to have a say-so as to the rate increase by encouraging Golden State's process before the judge? If they have been denied what they want by the judge until they put forth additional responses, then I don't think that you would be comfortable if you were someone living in the Edna Valley or the Country Club area and hearing some outsider telling the Golden State Water that they should get their increase because you wanted it for one specific reason. There are many things that came up that night that haven't been addressed in this letter.
Director Shaker?
Mr. Brady, could you answer just for me right now that concern? I thought the applications were separate. Did I misunderstand that?
There's a general rate case for our Region 1, and Region 1 is divided into customer service areas. And in the Los Osos customer service area includes Santa Maria Groundwater Basin. So there's certain reasons why they group them together. And the larger the customer base, the more you can attenuate rates as best you can. Now, both systems have equal challenges in terms of treatment. The Edna Road system has an ion exchange system, which removes selenium over there. And over here, we're bringing in an ion exchange system for nitrates. So we have shared operational expenses. We have the same people who operate Los Osos also operate Edna Road. So that's the reason why the PUC likes to group small systems together. So in the Los Osos CSA, there are two small systems joined together.
But they're obviously not the same basin like in Santa Maria.
Right.
Right.
But that's just how they do it. They just end up doing it. If there's a if there's a good reason, like being in the same basin, then that's what they'll do. That's sometimes if they're all within the same county, they're grouped in the same county. Napomo's in San Luis Obispo, but it's within that one basin, sharing a lot of the same. If you're in the same basin, you typically share the same challenges for water supply. And that was one of the reasonings for doing that. But here, two systems in the same county, belonging to one company, they group that as one customer service area.
Director Sennett?
You know, I've noticed a lot of development in the Edna Valley over the years. And I was wondering, when they develop, do they have impact fees that they pay to the Golden State, or does Golden State have to provide infrastructure to serve them?
Well, the development that I don't believe that's within our system. We're in the country club area. Which development are you referring to?
Well, there's been a lot of development out there, but I don't know which is served. I'm just
right. There's been a lot of development out towards the Highway 227 and Tank Farm. That whole area. That our drinking water system is not near that area of intense development. We're out by the country clubs more. It's more of an older neighborhood. It's a Rolling Hills, Edna Road, country club communities, and they've been pretty much stabilized there. There hasn't been significant growth.
The fees for Golden State prior to that. What was the name? Cal Cities, and did our fees go to, when I say our fees, the fees paid in this area go to capital improvements for other areas that we're expanding?
Typically, new development is paid by new development. So the capital that goes into the pipelines and all that is paid by the developer. And they meet our specifications. And so we don't have to come up with the cash to build that. That's what the developer does. So that capital investment essentially pays for itself. But when you say fees, I'm assuming you're meaning the rates that each of our customers pay. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier about the revenue requirement, meaning that it pays for how much money you need to pay off investment in the infrastructure, and then the operation and maintenance. Then you come up with this revenue requirement. Then you come up with this rate design, and that rate design will usually be like a meter surface charge, a fixed charge every month, and then you have sort of a usage fee. And in general, it's the fixed fee pays off the infrastructure, and the variable generally pays off the O&M. It's not exactly, because like if you're doing an increasing rate block structure, it's going to be a little bit different. But basically at the very end, you have a revenue requirement, and your rate design has to cover that revenue requirement. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I think what I'm getting at is there any equity in the demands of a zone, even though they're in the same basic, water system, as you say, but they're geographically separate in their costs and running operating requirements may be different, and so as not to, generate these feelings of, our area is subsidizing an expensive Los Osos area or something like that. Is there any setting of fees to account for that?
Well, it's they're grouped together, and one of the things is we a system, like our Sisquoc system in Santa Maria, there's like 75 people there. One well, a monthly fee for, if the one well was just spread across just those 75 people, then it would be very expensive. But PUC wants us to join that in with the larger system, which has, 10,000 people. So their costs are spread out. It's just a strategy that the PUC uses to try to get equity as best they can. They want economies of scale. They want shared expenses as best they can. But issues of inequity, as you're trying to what you're talking about here, it may exist, but they're trying to come up with the best grouping they can. And in this system, we've got both of them require the same kind of treatment. We've got the same operators, so there's some advantages there. So it's as best we can get to equity as we can without having, one large system.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Additional public comment on this item.
Alon Perlman, Prohibition Zone, member of LOCAC. I had the dubious pleasure of being the chair for the Land Use Committee. And what is the relevance of that? Actually, the relevance is that I had no idea what the meeting tonight was going to be about, and didn't watch it, I just came in about 5 minutes ago. But about a week ago, I had a thought. And that thought was, that was based on the TAC meetings, that everything is dependent on cooperation between the water purveyors. And so it occurred to me back then that maybe the CSD should originate to the Public Utilities Commission a letter explaining the situation and giving general advice to the PUC in as the needs for flexibility. So, well, good. Good, very good. But this could have happened even earlier, but this is very good that you're doing it. It's pretty, if I could. Okay, because I can go 150 decibels if you want. But no need for that. Good work. These things are very important. That flexibility is needed because the PUC does not know it yet, but they are dealing with an unprecedented situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Check. No check. Do you want me to go? Okay. Don't need this. Frank Casilio, Los Osos. Mike, I briefly went over your letter, and I do have concerns that you haven't come up with a tier system. Oh, it's working. I would like to see that Golden State and the LLCSD come up with a three-tier system that shows conservation, because you're both regulated under certain regulations. They have the PUC, and you have other requirements. So I think by both of you, actually even the third purveyor, meeting and coming up with a three-tier system that builds in conservation and present that to the PUC and to the other water purveyor, I think you'd have a stronger case for conservation. If you're not coming up with the plan, it's not going to happen, because in their plan currently, and you reviewed their plan, I believe, it doesn't show a three-tier system. Neither do you. The cost also with their increase, if they do get, there's no guarantee they'll get everything they ask for. It was, I calculated, being for the first 1 to 9 CUFs, or with CFSs, they're $15 more. So they're, I want to see some equitability, because if the cooperation has to be that we're on the same basis, let's get the charges related to the basin. So everybody's paying the same, and people are encouraged to do conservation in the rate structure. Because you can sit there, and you have nice signs there, but what most people do is they'll conserve when it hits them in the pocketbook. Study after study has shown that. And Golden State can make up their money in the higher-end brackets. We have been certified, which has a whole meaning to it. So I'd like to see that added to the letter. And also in sharing maybe some of the cost, all water purveyors sharing cost and cleaning up some of the upper aquifer and start using that so it's straight across the basin. So it's not only Golden State using a system to get rid of the nitrates, but the other two water purveyors also. Thank you.
Point of clarification, our recent rate increase was structured to encourage conservation. We did adopt an ascending tiered rate structure, and we encourage all purveyors to do that. It definitely helps to encourage conservation to speak to a pocketbook. Yes.
Big Dugan Los Osos. First of all, I would say yes on this letter. Is it my understanding that they can line item some of this stuff? In other words, they can say no for one area for certain things and yes for some areas for certain things? And God forbid if Edna Valley and their country club have to pay a little bit more money. This is those people aren't living in a ghetto out there. So I'm not too worried about that. That doesn't concern us anyway. And this will go a long way to get us past this adjudication of the basin by, especially with these comments here about interconnections. And it does show the county and the state and the resource people that we are working towards a sustainable water basin. And the more cooperative agreements there are and the more letters there are to show that, I think, the better, being as we don't have a very good reputation as it stands now to begin with a lot of people in the higher agencies. I know there was a lot of people that were upset at these rates. What are these rates for? But I'm saying that these are rates are better for the benefiting the basin and going towards a long way than having us not import water. That's the idea, is, you know, save the basin. Come on, let's not spend extra dollars on Nacimiento or state water, which may not or may be available. And so I think this is a good idea to send this letter. Too bad we didn't get a letter of support in on the first part of this before they got denied.
With our two new upper aquifer drinking water wells, and what kind of cost is involved in the ionization, and also are there byproducts from that process that have to be disposed of, and is that expensive? The other thing that I want to keep reiterating is that at this time, there are probably well over half of the wells in the prohibition of the septic tanks in the prohibition zone that are recharging the upper aquifer without any danger of liquefaction. I harped on the 800,000 gallons a day in Broderson until now I see Cleeth and Associates says we're going to only put 400,000 gallons a day there. Well, all we got to address now is the sludge, hazardous wastes for sludge. I think this subclass B is nothing more than spin. If hazardous waste or unclassified sludge, which was a hell of a lot more honest description, everything beneath AEQ sludge is just subclass AEQ. I mean, we don't even need B class anymore. So anyway, I would also like to say on the S&T, they really need to get meters there because, and that's been discussed by previous speakers, but they should be charged by what they use. So, I guess you're going to answer me about the ionization, and are we going to have some help in paying for our two new wells if we're going to hook up and share water? Thanks.
Mr. Brady, could you help us address some of those questions about the cost, I guess, per unit of water?
Yeah,
to use your system, and then the brine issue.
Okay, the specific system that we want to bring up here is a ion exchange. It's basically you're flowing water through a canister that has a bunch of beads in it, resin in it. And what happens is the nitrates stick to the beads, and then they release chloride. Chlorides are, you know, fairly low here in Los Osos, and the amount that it increases is considered insignificant, way below the drinking water standard. So it takes out the nitrates, and it releases chlorides. The water that's produced, there's limited capacity for disposing of brine waste on the Central Coast. So it would have to be shipped way down to Oxnard. So the way we overcame that is we researched all the different technologies out there, and we came across basin water ion exchange. They have a patented, unique approach to ion exchange process where they use multiple canisters, and I won't get into the very specifics, but the waste volume that's produced is 0.25% of the water that comes in is wasted. And the waste arise from regenerating that resin. The resin will, all the nitrates will stick to it, and eventually you'll have to clean all that nitrate off, and you use brine, and that waste brine contains the nitrates. So that nitrate-laden brine is shipped down to Oxnard, and it's non-hazardous. We pay in our Tanglewood project with this nitrate unit, we pay about $150 an acre foot for treating that, and that's a fairly reasonable cost for treatment. Let's see, did I answer all the questions? I think I got all of those. There was.
I think so. I think the only one left was, could the CSD use it on our upper aquifer wells? And I would suppose.
That's one of the something that we weren't really anticipating is, we have a lot of extra capacity on this unit. It's rated at 500 gallons a minute. And you could dial in what sort of level of nitrate you want. You know, if you want to have it zero, you can get zero. If you want, 30. Usually in treatment systems, they'll. Department of Health Services will establish about 80% of the MCL as the maximum amount that you want to let out. So the higher the level you go, the cheaper it is per acre foot. If you want it completely no nitrate at all, it becomes much more expensive. So to answer the question, there's capacity there, and we are all the water purveyors are signing the ISJ, the Interlocutory Stipulated Judgment. Part of the adjudication to agree to work with one another, and this is something that makes sense. If the water can get there at a reasonable, cost,
Thank you.
All right.
Additional public comment on this item.
Water.
Right,
so
but
you
it,
could you we could ship some of our water through these intertie connections. To be treated too.
Okay, then I misunderstood. I thought that he made this treated water available to the other purveyors if they wanted to shut down their wells. Okay. The other thought I just had is that it's interesting that we can pump the upper aquifer, treat the nitrates. Why couldn't we put a lot of pumps around this town, treat the nitrates, and find a disposal area for this clean water and dilute our upper basin? And finally, I'd like to know from Mr. Brady how many connections for both systems, Edna and Los Osos, and how many employees he has to maintain them. Thank you.
These projects are, part of our rate application for our system. It's something we feel we need to do to lower the production in the lower zone and shift it to the upper zone. And what I meant to say is we have additional capacity in that treatment unit, and the water purveyors are meeting, and we're talking about a lot of cooperative projects, and that's one of the reasons why we have these interconnections to allow the development of potential sharing of treatment, the potential of sharing sources, because as the wastewater project proceeds, it's going to require a highly coordinated effort on the part of the wastewater purveyor and all the water purveyors. So that is the key reason why we want to have these interconnections. So I guess there's two separate issues. The ion exchange system is for our system, but we have additional treatment capacity there, and with these interconnections, it opens up possibilities of how to future management options for the basin. Then the next one, what was the other question there?
A number of connections here and at Edna Road, and then I guess the staff required for each.
I'm going to go off of memory here. We're similar in size. I think we're about 2,800 service connections in Los Osos, and probably about 700 service connections, actually 600 service connections in Edna Road. And we have two operators, one primarily on the...
This item tonight. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Any discussion here? Director Sparks.
A couple items. Mr. Solio brought up water rates, and I think we'd all agree we'd like to see uniform rate structures throughout the district. And I think what we go through a different water rate increase process than they do with their PUC. So actually what I would expect to see over time with the adjudication is that you will see a trend towards similar water rate fee structures, although at the present time they're not the same. I do support this letter. I think there's a couple items in language maybe before we make a motion we can discuss that I think are maybe superfluous to the letter of support that I would change, dealing with language concerning the nitrates and towards the end, but I think I'll wait until we're ready to consider a motion. Ms. Taylor talked about the concern regarding her concerns on rates and affecting the rights of users. Again, this is, and I appreciate that, and we're addressing a narrow issue here, which is solely weighing in on the projects and the benefit they're going to have towards mitigating seawater intrusion.
Director Tacker.
I just want to remind everyone that the seawater intrusion problem is caused by all of us. We all use the water, and it's time that we all take responsibility and address the problem. Our purveyors are taking the first step forward, and they have to do that by raising rates. We in our district had a flat fee up until 99, 2000, something like that. The county system was in disrepair. So we've had to ratchet our rates up over the years. And I remember with the Tuckfield report, it turned out that it wasn't enough, but at the time, adding a administrative raise in rates, some few months before Tuckfield implemented a three-year, because of that, because our leaks are tightened up, but we're changing the way we manage our water in the using the idea of upper aquifer wells, and that costs money. But again, we, the people, cause the problem. We, the people, have to pay. We need to start mitigating seawater intrusion now. The wastewater project, when and if it's ever implemented, is at least 5 years away. And so these projects must be pushed forward so that we are doing due diligence for the basin. And I think currently, if I use, because we are a tiered rate structure, if you use some of the higher tiers in the Los Osos CSD Water District, you actually are paying more than customers in the Golden State District. So those higher tiers are penalized for using more water. And I bet it balances out pretty closely when we start looking at project for project and rate for rate. It, it's going to be expensive to fix what's broken, and I'm in full support of sending a letter supporting these projects. And then just as a reminder, these interconnections with the LOCSD, we have a cost too. This Golden State's not going to pay for the whole thing, so we have to pay some of that too. So it is cooperative. I am encouraged by the ISJ. I'm not going to try to say the word. It looks like the purveyors are all on the same page, and it's just a matter of getting the court to agree and everybody sign on the dotted line. So let's get into the semantics of the letter soon, but I think the reasons are all good to support sending a letter in support of their projects.
I'm Director Sennett.
Well, I think this letter promotes the strategies that the water purveyors all want to cooperate in for the benefit of the whole basin on rain to replenish the basin. It's not a given that things are changing. So I think we need to keep an eye on everything, but for the present, we need to work on these strategies to increase our safe yield and reduce the seawater intrusion. As yet, I think we need to reevaluate the safe yield for the upper basin as well, the upper aquifer. The Cleese report hasn't been updated since we had the strategy of harvest wells. So things are changing, and that's an important thing we have to update. But I'm all in support of this letter. I think there are a few things that we really aren't justified in presenting here, and one is the first paragraph on page 2 of 3, characterizing nitrate contamination of the upper zone of the basin, which resulted primarily from the large number of septic tanks. It hasn't been qualified that it's a large number or a small number in a very poor strategic location. We could go on and on, and I think some people would dispute if there is a significant amount arising from agriculture and ranches. It's contentious, and I don't think it adds anything really to the cause here that we're looking at tonight. So on that basis, I think we just take out the phrase "which resulted primarily," and then ends with "within the community of Los Osos." Also, the suggestion that we add that certified for the severity level 3 ranking is a proper change too. And with that, that's it.
Thank you for those comments, and that's what I would like us all to focus on right now if we're going to do the wordsmithing. I think we're all in agreement that but I would like to hear the comments about what needs to be changed. Director Schicker.
I don't know, Mr. Brady, if you want to comment on a couple of my things that I thought. I agree with Steve about taking out the septic tanks. I agree with Steve about mentioning severity of level 3. I would also like to mention that the CSD is sharing the cost on the interconnections. Add that to the letter if that helps your case. And that that those projects are secured by the IBANC, so they know that we are paying for it and we can. Because I read that somewhere in that report that there's no substantiation for sharing of the costs. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wanted to add that. And then the final thing that I wanted to add was, wait a second. One more. Would this be the place to recommend about tiered rates or not? Are you doing tiered rates? I don't know. I think that's a good suggestion for conservation. Are you mentioning conservation in any way?
Okay. Issue on shared costs, the numbers in our rate case was specifically the amount of investment we were going to make. So when you talk about shared costs, you know, as long as you clarify that you are spending money on your side of things, and money in our rate case is our contribution.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With respect to the increasing rate block structure, we do have another rate case to modify rate design in the works to basically, you know, for the same revenue requirement for these projects, have an increasing rate block structure. And we're looking at how to do that. And one of the things with increasing rate block structures is something called pricing elasticity. The more you go up, the less people will pay, and that's what we want. But at the same time, you need this revenue requirement. So if you make it too steep, you may lose, you know, more revenue than you anticipated. So those increasing rate block structures are kind of tricky things, and you need to be careful how to structure those.
Okay. Thank you.
But yes, we do have plans for that.
Okay. She's telling them to be quiet.
Thank you. Any other comments? Director Sparks, I think you had some.
In the next to last paragraph on page 2, on the second point, I would just delete that altogether. I don't think it's necessarily relevant for this letter. And then on the last point, the third one, just we're only having 2 points instead of third if we do that.
Mr. Sparks, I didn't... catch your last one.
In the next to last paragraph, the second point states, the pollution caused by years of high septic is currently being addressed by the County of San Francisco through pursuing a community wastewater collection and treatment center. I don't think it's relevant for this specific letter.
Director Tacker.
The third paragraph from the end, page 3, top of page 3. Just the reference to I. The letter is coming from the board. Yes, Chuck Cecinia will be signing it, but I think we, or I don't even think we should be questioning ourselves by saying, as I understand it, or as we understand it. We understand it. So I don't know that we need to have that in there. In our limited knowledge? Oh, well, no, I just think we need to be more assertive and agree with it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, those were the primary areas I was looking at, too, for modification. So it sounds like we're all pretty much on the same page. So if you're all comfortable with George and I putting the final product together, if you want to see it emailed before I... have it typed up, I'll do that this weekend, and if you have any final comments, give them back to me.
Nope. Can't do that.
This is just something I do personally, or our department does, is usually contains a header with the addressee name on it on the subsequent pages following the first and the date, so we know which letter it came from.
A header, yeah.
And yes, not to run afoul of the Brown Act, I will just take these suggestions tonight, craft the letter with George, and send it out.
There you go. Okay, I'll make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to adopt the letter and send the letter if we need one. Do we need a motion? As amended and...
Okay, general action item B. Consider recommendations of the Wastewater Advisory Committee relating to the County Technical Advisory Committee's fine screening, final comments, and possible action by the board. And basically, I think what this comes down to is how do we transmit to the county the collective work done by the Wastewater Committee reviewing the fine screen report. The first set of comments were sent to the county under staff signature for their perusal and use as they saw fit. And now do we want to do that again? Do we want to add a little more emphasis by putting it under the signature of the board? Do we make it as strong as a policy statement, that sort of thing? That's the discussion, I think, that we need to have here. And Director Sennett, you had a comment?
Yeah, in watching the Board of Supervisors meeting and discussion about the Los Osos wastewater project that the county's doing, it seemed that the county expressed a skepticism, if not being, they felt that they were being picked on and criticized. And these comments that are generated by the Wastewater Committee are, they're anything but critical. They're just comments, and they're meant to proof the document, make it more accurate. The county can certainly, and its consultant can certainly pick and choose what they feel is appropriate, but these are offered in the most cooperative of spirits. And I think that was missed by the county. And I heard statements from Mr. Ogun regarding these as, you know, I don't know if they were directed toward these comments or you know, I don't know if he took an editorial as being somewhat overly critical of the process. But I think a letter of clarification with these contained, kind of like, you know, reiterating what the purpose of this is in the first place, could point to more systemic errors in the way they're looking at this. So I feel it's really necessary that we emphasize this to them.
Director Schicker.
Before we go any further, Jim T. Catch, the chair of the committee, is here tonight, and I'd like him, for the benefit of the public and those watching at home, to explain the process that we've been through for the last 7 or 8 meetings.
Jim T. Catch, Los Osos Wastewater Advisory Committee Chair. Basically, we just were tasked with going through the draft fine screening report and reviewing it for any errors and to comment on what we thought of materials contained in the report itself. In the process, one of the first couple meetings, we discussed whether or not how we would submit the comments, and there was a controversy about that, and we resolved to send only comments that under the banner of the Wastewater Advisory Committee that the committee reached consensus on. And so that's what's contained in the report to the LCSD. Tonight, if I can combine this with the Wastewater Advisory Committee report for this evening, I'm submitting the report from the Wednesday, June 27th meeting when we completed Chapter 4, Treatment Technology, the July 3rd meeting where we completed the transmittal executive summary in Chapter 7, and the July 10th meeting where we were able to get through finish Chapters 4 and 7 and complete Chapters 5 and 6. And we have our consensus comments contained in those reports. But attached to the report is a large document that has the individual committee members' comments and comments from members of the public that were at the meeting. But I would like to ask that before you send the attachment, there was a column on the on this that should have been on there that listed the initials of the committee member that made the comment, or the if the comment was from a member of the public. And I feel that, and it's been expressed to me by others, that sending it under the heading that's on there now would be confusing, because it says that it's a Wastewater Advisory Committee review of the viable project alternatives and makes it seem like this is what the committee was discussing. Many of these points that are on this attachment, the committee never discussed. The only thing that the committee discussed is what's in the reports to the board. So I would like this attachment to be sent, but not until we can get you a revised version that shows the column that has.
Thank you. Monday would actually be better because everybody will be there and we can make sure it gets done. And, you know, depending on whether it's going to be either Anna Jane or Chuck who signs the final letter, you know, we can make that happen either way.
Well, great. That'll give us over the weekend if there's necessary. I think all they got to do is shrink up these two columns on the left-hand side and that other column will magically appear back on the page. And I think that would make everybody happy. And provide further clarification for the whoever's going to review these, so that you know that it makes it clarified. But I didn't hear the comments by Mr. Ogren. Hopefully they weren't directed at our work. It's, you know, I review reports like this all the time at work, and that's all we were doing as a committee. I would think that the county would be interested in what the Wastewater Advisory Committee, the community, thought of the report. If they're not, fine, but I would think that they would be, you know, if they're open-minded about the process. So with that, I just ask that you send them however you can send them. Right? It doesn't have to be a letter from the board as far as I'm concerned. I don't really see that you need to endorse them. If you just have staff send them, say, here's what our committee said. You know, in the consensus comments, and here's what they said as individuals and also comments from the public. And with that, I'll complete my report unless you have any questions.
I think that the first set of comments on chapters 1, 2, and 3 did have that extra column with the comments linked to the individual. So,
okay,
and I think that was important, especially in terms of knowing whether it came from the public or members of the committee.
Right. And I think it's pretty clear that on the reports from the individual dates that those were consensus comments. So, because I say the wastewater is able to reach consensus on the following statements and comments regarding. And, you know, I hope, again, that and I'll ask Mr. Ogren when I see him next time if he did take issue. Because like we just, here's, for instance, table 4.12 shows 2,080 hours per year as a full-time equivalent employee, but page 3-24 Table 3.19 shows 1760 hours for a full-time equivalent employee. Please explain the discrepancy. I mean, you know, we have some general comments in here. General comment, the report needs to provide more details and source documentation on how the numbers were derived for all project components.
Things Los Osos.
Okay.
And it carried over to the work that we were presenting from your committee.
Far be it for me to take anything personal. So we can submit them and hope for the best. That's all I have.
Thank you. Director Schicker, you had additional comments.
I would like to say once again, thank you, Jim, to Jim and the committee for the fine work they did. Those of you who have ever worked on committees, reaching consensus is not always an easy thing to do. And we have very opinionated people on the opinion on all sides of the issue, which is good. And they did reach consensus on
right.
that
issue. Right. I'm glad we got through it
Hard
before
workers.
I had to get a whip and a chair.
And then I also wanted to say that I did attend Tuesday's meeting, and I think there was a misunderstanding about what we produced by both Supervisor Gibson and Mr. Ogren. And I did approach Mr. Gibson because his comment was something like, and the CSD complained about a bunch of things in the report when he was summarizing. That was disturbing to me, and I did approach him about it, and he said, please give me your specifics and we'll talk about it. Because
yeah.
I don't think they understand what we were doing and why.
I wonder if he read it.
I'm sure he didn't. And the point is that a lot of the people on that committee are professionals who review reports all the time. And we're used to drafts and we're used to mistakes and it's no big deal, but it's a valuable service. That's really it.
And I'll work to get you that revised appendices so we have that clarified.
Okay.
And I'll make sure it's there by Monday.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'd like the board to send the letter. A cover letter explaining the process and what the comments are and aren't, and then get this corrected before it goes. But I guess I would like to hear from the public, too. That's just my comment at this
time. Any other board discussion at this time?
We don't have the consensus comments in our packet.
They should be there.
You should have them. We don't have them.
Under the committee reports, those were put in there, And then on Tuesday, the other set came in, and then on Tuesday is when it was decided to put another item on the agenda. So everything else is under committee reports, and then these are separate.
Yeah, they're in the packet.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to come in that fun table. So I read them and didn't know it.
Board discussion at this time, or should we move to...
Ponds may be accurate, and then it referred to a Nelson Pond system. And so I guess since we're sending that, you're basing that on... The committee was basing their consensus statement on data that was presented to the committee, or...
Yeah, the Ripley report.
Okay, so wasn't referenced here. And then one of my concerns, Mr. Tkach, is it's the understanding of the fine screening report, which, where they're using 20 acres, to me, they're not precluding a Nelson Pond system if it can meet treatment, a specific pond system. So it wouldn't necessarily, to me, preclude that. So I guess I failed to understand, the relevance of showing the Nelson Pond system there. But
well, if I may, the reason was is because the Nelson Pond was discussed in the Ripley report, and we felt that it was more accurate to show that other pond systems don't need full 20 acres, like they are saying these other pond systems do. So we just wanted to make the distinction that not all pond systems require full 20 acres in order to make it more clear to the public that they're all alternatives that don't require that much land. That was the only point we're trying to make.
Okay. I guess I couldn't comment on that aspect. The issue I have is, again, we're submitting these, and you don't have the benefit. Unlike the TAC, you don't have, on where issues like this come up, you don't have the benefit of Rob Miller there to provide the technical input when you're going through these. That I think, and so we end up with, in my opinion, we end up with unfiltered comments, which I appreciate, and I appreciate the effort, but just as there may be errors, in their report, I want to make sure where we're submitting information, it's been screened not just by our committee, but if we're providing specific data or statements that we've got reference that shows that. And so when I saw some of these, I don't have the opportunity to see it. I don't have a district engineer to ask the screening report. Again, I don't see it as precluding a 13-acre pond. What it's doing is providing viable options, which includes the facultative pond. And so there's no substantive, I don't have any substantive issue with it. And it's to provide those viable options that will then form the basis to have an assessment. And the detailed design and the value engineering that will occur subsequent will enable these things to be dealt with. And I'm sure the public will be involved in those stages as well. Assuming that the county is still doing the project. Mm-hmm. So
we were just trying to show the range of options a little more clearly.
I think it's worth pointing out that ponding systems can be built with less acreage than they mentioned, because if the numbers they're throwing out lead to the viable options, they may be throwing out ponds because they take too many acres. And if they don't, then maybe they've thrown out an option that needs to be included. So I think it's good to point these things out.
Yeah,
and I'd also say that I was not able to attend most of your committee meetings, so I'm having a lot of faith and trust in the work that you people did.
Well, you had a lot of varied backgrounds represented. There were varied opinions on the project represented. So,
and I'd agree.
Director Sparks has still got the floor.
I'd agree if it were a pond that were greater than 20 acres. That's just, and we talk about, having the price of land for Brotus and Tri-W needs to be included in the table. It's that property's already been bought, and so for purposes of comparison, I don't know that relevant. There's a sunk cost at this point. I don't know that it's relevant in terms of the fine screening report on...
Well, on that point, we felt it was so that people would know that there has been money already spent on that. Well, one member of the committee felt that that would make Tri-W look better because you've already got money spent for it. Others of us felt that it wasn't fair to say these others are X amount of dollars and Tri-W is X this much less because you don't have to buy the land. Well, we already spent that money. We did buy the land. So we thought it was important to make that point notice, you know, I meet people in the community that don't even know there's a sewer issue here, you know, so there's people that have a lot to learn, you know, so we were just trying to, again, try to make it more clear. I admit some of this might be nitpicky, Joe.
Yeah, no, again, I appreciate the effort. You know, there's a comment about having, why hasn't photovoltaic generated electricity been considered? You know, at this stage, I'm not sure this is relevant to the fine screening report.
Well, there it had to do with energy costs and what those could potentially save us. When your capital investment in photovoltaic over long term could provide a lot of returns and reduce your overall cost.
I guess I just personally see, you know, energy generation as a separate project from...
Advanced degree people who have worked in the field, who reached consensus on all of these items. It's not like they just threw them out and... It really took a lot of discussion back and forth. It was really good dialogue, but none of these comments were created lightly, especially these consensus comments.
And let me just clarify that consensus comment thing, because I don't want anybody to think that, yeah, we all raised our hands and said, yeah, we unanimously agree with that.
Oh,
what
no.
What the situation was is there anyone strongly objecting to this being stated as a consensus comment by the committee? And if there was no strenuous objection, then it went in. If there was strenuous objection, then we argued the point until we got something where there was no further objection. There may not have been agreement with the statement, but there was no further objection to the statement, that it was refined to the point that it was acceptable by the person that was objecting to it. So that's why we didn't want to go through a vote on every single one and then catalog the vote on every one. It was the best we could do to get through. So by consensus comment, we mean that most of the committee agreed that that should go in, and the ones that didn't agree acquiesced to the point that it was refined to the point that it was acceptable, or they would no longer object.
Yeah, that's a good explanation of the process. Again, I have it down here that we met 8 times, an average of 3 hours a time, to get to this small list of consensus comments and asked the board to trust the process because they weren't there. Of course we have questions, but and just to remember the purpose of a committee like this, we're not the ones getting paid $800,000 to prepare a professional report, but we're donating our time to make sure that report is as good as possible for the public. And if we don't get it right, if we make a little mistake in our comments, believe me, they'll point it out to us. What they'll do is take their report and they'll look at all these comments. And if they do it like we do it at our job, we respond to each of the comments and we reply. And we say, covered on page so-and-so, comment noted, will not reply. So that's the role of a committee and an edit. And that's how we approach the project that we attempted on the committee. So.
Director Sparks.
Yeah, just one last quick comment. I think this does point the value of what the county's doing and how public a process it is. I mean, I contrast the amount of time our wastewater committee has spent with the district, and it's a testament to the good job the county's doing keeping this a public process and in their competency in administering a project.
Director Tacker.
I spent many hours sitting in on a wastewater committee that was made up of 2 directors who carried a vote and 3 members of the public that voted and worked many, many, many hours on the Tri-W project. I believe those people believed that they were doing the right thing, but their committee was not as diverse as what we have set out by appointing a wide variety of citizens from our community. I trust that I appointed you last year, Joe, because I wanted to see a diverse committee. And my appointment this year is Gordon Taylor, and he sat on the prior wastewater committees, and I didn't agree with him often, but I want that diversity on our committee. And I'm sorry that it took many hours to come to consensus, but I'm glad you had to go through that so that you have a comprehensive report to give to the county. I don't care if the county's having a grouchy day or having heartburn over what comes out of Los Osos. Los Osos pays. And this board, this district is bankrupt by its investment in a wastewater project that was in the wrong direction. This board was elected to set the community's wastewater project in the right direction. And I think each one of our appointments reflects, appointments on the committee reflects the diversity in our community. And these comments, the county has to hear them. And if they choose to do nothing with them, which we've seen in reports in the past, so be it. But it's not for not trying. And I embrace this work, and I will support a letter that comes from the board that submits these comments. And I, you know, having a grouchy day over Los Osos, well, just come walk the streets and live here for a little while, Mr. Gibson.
I think we ought to consider dissolving all the committees. After all, we accept their work for guiding our actions. And if we're that have that little confidence in it, then what are we doing here?
I think we're going to move on to public comment at this point.
Got more reports.
We're not doing committee reports right now. We're on item B.
When do you receive
action item B, a supplemental agenda? We're discussing whether or not the wastewater committee comments. How they get transferred or passed on to the county. So if you have public comment about that, let her rip.
Thank you. I think I will engage in this specific item, and mostly to say that that committee is comprised of iconoclasts, and I have absolutely no idea of what that word means, but it does fit. It does fit. This particular committee did a magical thing and continues to do some very good things, but it is a very unique committee in its function and in the way its members interact. And sometimes I can only describe it actually as magic, because there's no rational way that these people could get together and do that. They are each individually extremely strong in certain areas. And the fact that they produced a great document with consensus is a testament to both the big picture and also their individual commitment within that committee. But I remind the board that it is your responsibility to construct committees that will work and maintain that their members understand their own role within a committee and adhere to the purview limitations of those committees, and allows those committees to function. And I will be speaking again when committee reports are due. Thank you very much.
Additional public comment offered on this item tonight? We have a special treat tonight.
Okay, this is a sewer dragon song about water in general. and about not being, it's actually about the creative approach that in my line of work, how not to let rules and regulations get in the way of really building something. So, once there was a Los Osos sewer dragon who decided no more to roam. He decided to retire, which meant he had to find a home. So, as we know, he slithered to the left and he slithered to the right, up to the California coast. And then what a shock when he went in Bimoral Rock and turned into the Back Bay. The first thing he saw was a board boat. And the boat was the board of supervisors. And they were there for the sewer dragon to pay attention to. The board of supervisors actually looked at the sewer dragon, gave a letter, and the letter, and then the sewer dragon continued on in the Back Bay, and the next board boat he met was aboard the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And they were full of rules and regulations and orders, and the sewer dragon all of a sudden began to wonder what on earth, how could he be a real sewer dragon, do what he really knew and wanted and loved to do? How could the sewer dragon continue with rules and regulations? And he just plain got so that he began to lay his head against the shore. Could I do anything by only following rules, regulations, and the whole thing looked impossible until the sewer dragon realized that water was his life, the rules and regulations, some to ignore, some not to ignore, but the main thing was to realize.
Art, so we thank her. And we got the point. It is important where we put a sewer, the location. My name is Al Barrow, and I'm on the Wastewater Committee. And I just want to tell you that in addition to the 1,500 hours or so I've spent researching and working with experts and bringing professionals into the community, there are two members on the Wastewater Committee from the Los Osos Technical Task Force, which started working on this 3 or 4 years ago. So there's some background there. We have one prior committee member from previous board who worked on that. And then we have the husband of one of the TAC members who's on it. So we have a pretty balanced group of people. And so I think it's the county's loss if they don't look at what we produce for them, because we are familiar with what they're looking at. One of the things that the committee did get consensus on was that we all agreed that the step collection system was the preferred collection system. Were you aware of that, anybody on the board? That's what we had a consensus on, that one. We also will be better prepared as a community if the 218 were to fail, because we do have a wastewater committee that's up to speed on what's going on and is working on it. And we've worked, our focus has been on the viable project alternative and that study, and we've gone to a lot of work on the rough screening, the fine screening, and the TAC pro and cons. So I think it all kind of connects very well. One of the details that was missing from the engineering report by Carollo was the industry cost for step. And they have those about three times as high as the industry figures are. And so we asked them to represent that. A step collection system, which was one-third the cost of a of what they say a step collection is. It's pretty amazing numbers and discrepancies. And then we're studying the bid build design in our next meeting and finance, so we have an idea how to handle a project and how to finance a project if we don't have RSF money. The other thing is the photovoltaic cells, the solar power, can give us sustainability and can reduce our cost by 50%. That's a big energy cost for operation and maintenance.
The industry costs are one-third that of the Carrillo report?
Approximately,
And what's the basis for that?
Well, Orenco is a professional with 25 years' experience in STEP systems, and their historical data and also the recent data from the bid tabs from Charlotte County of June 13th this year indicate a much lower number. The other thing that makes it different is Table C. They add a 50% contingency, engineering, and sales tax. Those are all included in Orenco's industry numbers. So there's a huge gap in the credibility. I don't know if that answered. Was that what you were asking?
No, I mean, I'm really interested in source, because I've gone through and have talked, you know, when I heard Bob Simonson at the TAC meeting talk to, you know, vendors or talk to districts across the country. I'd done the same thing over 2 years ago. Not some of the same ones, some of the different ones. And I've gotten 2,000, before the Ripley report came out, I did my own check looking at STEP system in Northern California, trying to find and it's real important that people understand when you're doing case studies in systems engineering, when you're doing case studies, that, you know, just getting your source of data is very important, and including all costs. So I hope the committee, if they're going to give out statements that, you know, there are prices out there that 50%, that they've actually looked at all the source data, gotten quotes on step tanks, gotten installation costs, and covered all costs, and that source data has been available and reviewable. So that you understand the full cost, because my review of and in the report, I'd agree, it's clearly on the construction costs. If you're looking for the cheapest system, if they can meet the lowest cost bogey on construction costs, it was a step system. But to say that, you know, I think it's, to me, I haven't seen data. I've never seen data. I haven't seen data in 2 years that suggests that it's one third or one half what the county had.
Well, the STEP collection system in the tables has a range from 65 to 81 million just for the STEP collection system alone. Okay? Do you recall those numbers?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And those numbers don't match up with industry.
So this quotation for $50 million, this was given, the Wastewater Committee reviewed this?
I've
never
not
seen this report.
No, we have.
Okay, we've got too much back.
Mr. Cena, this is relevant. This is very relevant to the community getting information and understanding the validity.
All I'm trying to say is we need Mr. T-Catch to come back up.
We'll get him up here.
Okay, I don't want this to keep going when it's not.
The speaker is a welcome member of the public, and he's stated items, and I'm simply asking him that. He's also a member of the Wastewater Committee.
Can I clarify? I'll make a quick clarification. The county had worked for 2 hours on a phone call with Orenco, and they're expecting to bring their numbers into this process. They haven't done that yet, but we know their numbers. So I think that's about all I can say to help you.
Thank you.
I'd state that I would like to see these numbers. I've never seen them. I've heard them, but I've never seen them. So
validated by industry. Yeah, it would be important. Mr. T-Catch, I think you had a clarification for us.
I just want to clarify, if you look at the consensus statement on the collection system, that issue that was just being discussed was not a consensus statement. Right. The committee never made that as a consensus statement. I don't believe that's correct, Mr. Barrow. I can check. I don't have them in front of me, but I'm fairly positive that the only thing the committee said, if I remember correctly, for that meeting was that based on the conclusions of that chapter, we agreed that step collection appeared to be the lowest cost based on the information of that chapter. That's all the consensus of the committee was with regard to step collection.
Thank you. Additional public comment.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I think that, Joe, you're forgetting that the wastewater committee is made up of members that spent almost 3 years looking at alternatives, and they didn't, because we already knew that the gravity system in the middle of town was not going to address the needs and was certainly going to be the highest priced project we could possibly get. So the experience that they brought to this wastewater evaluation of the tax, the hours of work from all these members that did their reading on their own time and then spent whatever, 8 meetings going over this stuff. I attended a few of them. They're grueling. I mean, it was page, you know, item by item. So, and I think that you forget, too, that Broderson and Tri-W were purchased for the only reason we purchased them was to put a bad sewer plant on them. So they are an asset to this community. They could be sold. $11 million could be applied to buying land someplace else. So I wish you would stop acting like that's not important. If you don't think $11 million is important, then shame on you. You don't belong in a leadership role at all. And if you don't want to deal with the options now, if we can't look at what this discussion is important now, it's not going to be important. Once the 218 comes forward, who knows what's going to get lost? I saw what happened with Montgomery Watson. Many reports just disappeared and never got brought to the surface. And what we're after is to make a great energy-efficient sewer that will take care of our issues, return water, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the gravity. If you don't want that to be included in the report, then I'm just totally, totally discouraged because we're not going to get any place with this argument. Thanks.
Dave Dingle, Los Osos. What are we discussing here? Whether you're going to have staff send this or whether or not the board is going to endorse this. And you take a vote, and if somebody says no, they say no, and if the majority says yes, then you say yes, and it's all she wrote. You can have a discussion of the substance. You don't take this far, which leads me to this point. When Chuck tried to close board comment on this matter to come back to the public or make this argument, and we have Joe Sparks telling the chair he has the right to. I would have used that gavel. No, I would have used it on the table. But Joe Sparks is not the chair of this board. And it seemed like he told you he was going to talk about it. Yeah, I don't understand that. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say anything wrong with you. Mr. Sparks, he's the chair. If he wants to end comment, your comment, at any time, brown file, or they do something with them, then that's the way it is. But as far as I'm concerned, they asked for this. They wanted public comment on what was going on. The attack, okay, let's go to the point where this point was made where Bruce Gibson thought that comments were being made that were not pertaining to the agenda item, and they're being mean-spirited. I use the word bias because I didn't want the TAC committee trying to choose projects and comparing them, all that. That Carrillo should be doing that. And if you look at the noon session of that day, of the Monday before that, of the TAC, you'll see it. It's on video. It's playing now, how they try to expand their role and to create projects to look at, which outside their purview. And that's where the argument came in. Well, some of them are biased. They shouldn't do that. And, of course, Bruce Gibson blew it up to conspiracies, which Lisa got the brunt of it when she tried to explain. I walked up there, and Bruce Gibson was being non-statesmanlike. And yes, I'm so sorry to hear that. But I did tell Bruce Gibson, the first thing I said was, I thought the report by Pavo was the best one he's given so far. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos, and I'd like to demand equal time for conversation with Mr. Director Sparks, if that's at all possible. One of the things I'd like to comment on was Director Tacker's description of the old board's selection of committee members. It was quite memorable when we watched the Board of Supervisors pick the TAC committee. Quite a bit of similarity there. On the size of the ponds, I'd like to tell you my favorite pond is the one that grows algae. The old board that we had to take the checkbook away from had Mr. Miller, our engineer, give an evaluation of a TAC, of a step in the pond system, and he said that there'd be truckloads of algae to haul away every day. And I thought that was the greatest thing since cornflakes. You know, the mills squeeze the oils out of them, and you run them right back on a conveyor belt to the beginning of the pond, throw them in, and let them grow more oil again. It's a recirculating system. With a few thousand acres of the desert this side of the Gulf of California or Lake Cortez, is it? They could grow enough biodiesel to furnish all the transportation needs we have. And I guess that's about all I was going to hit. Thanks much.
Frank Salillo, Los Osos. I agree that you guys have a committee that has been working, putting a lot of hours in, researching what's been going on with the fine screening. And I attended one of those meetings, and I couldn't handle that going line by line by line. It was driving me up the wall. I didn't have the patience for it. So, but I was listening to the information, and I think they did a good job in what they believe is a workable system. I think you have a committee that is dedicated to getting something that will work for the community. And I think to just bury that would just not do them justice. And I believe to send it off and to the county. Now, whether you, all five of you, agree with it or don't agree with it, that's okay. You can put that in your vote. We're sending this off as advisory committee. And, the five of us vote against it, or we don't necessarily support it, but we are sending it off as a process of public input. And I'm not, because I don't know how you guys are going to vote, so you, all five of you may vote for it, or all five may be against it. So that's what I would recommend. I'm not sure what you mean by possible action by the board, being that you're going to support this document in the sense that you agree with its conclusions or its recommendations, or you're sending it off as a document that your advisory committee has developed and support sending it as a some additional information to assist the county. Because you look at 2701 with AB 2701, which is always quoted around here, it doesn't say that you guys have given up the right to review any information by the county in the wastewater system. It says that you can't plan it. But to review the documents, you have a responsibility. You're our local, and I mean local by being the most...
Maria Kelly, Los Osos. I can't speak for the TAC, but I can say that, yes, the comments do get submitted directly to us. We've already received the first batch, and it did come up for discussion today in one of our sub-meetings. And sitting as a TAC member, I like the process. Sean Kelly sitting as a wastewater, you know, when he can get to the meetings, you know, that's another process. What's most enlightening is when we actually see what is come out of the other working document, because we tend not to discuss it until we see it in print. So that's been kind of lively and enlightening as well. So I do believe this community has been very active and is very active, and I continue to support the processes. And, you know, the process for the TAC was submit through the project team or through, that's the way to go. What gets submitted comes back to the TAC. So I think that process is being followed, and there's no harm in submitting these comments. Thank you.
Any additional public comment on this item tonight? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Director Sennett, did you have something to add?
Yes.
thanks to Maria Kelly. I appreciate your comment, and I think in addition we should forward it to the TAC also. Okay. Thank you.
Any other board comment tonight?
Just thank you. I would like to forward the report to the TAC, the Board of Supervisors, and the Carollo, and the staff. That's, I think, the complete recommendation of who it should go to.
And the letter should come from?
The board.
I'd like to make a motion to do that.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Wow.
Excellent.
Can we take a break now?
I think that in reality, for us to sit up here and try and rework what that committee went through after all that work and say that in addition to their consensus buy-in that, you know, one of us could ruin that consensus because we didn't agree, the time to do that would have been at the committee meetings, to be there with those people and put in the time. And I sure appreciate what you've done. And that was good debate. And let's take a 5-minute break. Thank you. Welcome back, and we're going to move on to the consent calendar and committee reports. And what I'd like to know now is if there are any items on the consent calendar that we're going to pull for a separate vote. Let's go ahead and do that first. So if I hear anything about consent calendar items that we're okay with. Okay, good. Then on to committee reports. Do we have any oral administrative reports from staff?
None. No oral reports.
Excellent. And we have a written report from our utilities manager. And George, you okay if we just ask questions if we have those questions? Is there anything you want to highlight in here that you really want to call our attention to? Actually, at least fill us in on the iBank extension and where that's at and that kind of thing, if you would, please.
Yeah, thank you. With regard to the iBank, I spoke with Roma, who now is back after a short leave. And she had reviewed about half of our packet requesting the extension request last Friday and said that this week she was going to try to get back to us a determination with regards to the extension. So as of this afternoon, I have not heard back from Roma. I will be in the office tomorrow, and we'll give her a call just to find out how she's doing. If there's anything, we can certainly respond to any questions there at this point. So that concludes as far as what I know on the iBank. With regards to any other items we have going on, per the board's direction and desires to remove the fence at Tri-W. I can give you an update if you'd like on that. There's nothing in the packet itself, but I'm certainly willing to provide you kind of a direction as to where we're going with that project.
It was my understanding you were contacting some of the agencies that might have some jurisdiction, like Fish and Wildlife and Coastal Commission, to see what their concerns might be.
Right. And as it is, our permit is still valid with the Coastal Commission. So I spoke with Steve Monowitz, and there's no concern with him in regards to us getting in there and, again, doing a little bit of grading. The purpose, of course, is to eliminate any of the hazards out there caused by the ravines and some of those deeper swales in the sand. So we've got to go ahead there. I do have a call into Julie with the Fish and Wildlife Service just to touch base and let her know what we're doing. But at this point, there doesn't seem to be any obstacles with regards to us getting in there and actually doing the work.
Good. And just for the public that didn't catch that, what we're referring to is trying to get the fence down from around the Tri-W site. We want to do a little grading, make sure it's safe, and then get rid of the eyesore, because next month we start a whole new year's lease on that fence, and I don't see any reason to put that money out. The 16th Street well, the whole setback and the booster station, do you have any update for us on that?
I do. The project you're referring to is the contract number 9, which is the upgrading the booster pump station. As I've reported in the past, there was an issue with that site in that it never was rezoned after it was originally constructed as a the water facility. So, in fact, we had submitted an application for variance because it is residential zoning. We have to comply with a 25-foot setback. Essentially, the county was, I wanted to get a feel for what the neighbors would think with regards to putting the building in the back. We're caught in a little bit of a position, so to speak, in that if the county forces us to put the building in the back and will not give us, grant us a variance, the residents or the neighbors can appeal that. If they appeal it to the Coastal Commission, certainly we're into somewhat of a lengthy appeal process, which certainly jeopardizes our ability to construct that facility within the time frame of the I Bank. So we've got a couple of things going on. I do have a meeting in the morning with Bruce Gibson, who has agreed to come out and walk the site. Next week, I will be meeting with the county with regards to the same issue, and have forwarded, and I believe today in your mailboxes, you received a letter that went out to Steve Monowitz. And really what I was asking Steve was, what's your feeling? Because if, in fact, they will not support a county, the county supporting a variance, then game over. We will have to design to the back, and then no doubt the neighbors' response on Monday was, we'd like to see it in the front. We believe that's the best spot for it. Certainly putting in the back adds additional cost, building a road back there, and then, of course, the concerns of having to back out or back in or how we'll actually operate and maintain that facility. So, again, we've got a number of things happening on different levels. It's my hope to not only get the decision makers at the counties to see the practicality of siting the facility in the front and grant us a variance, but on the other hand, on the other side too, I'm kind of querying the Steve Monowitz and getting his feel, if it did come before the commission, would they in fact support a county supported variance for our project? So I can report back at your next meeting as to how those meetings came out and where we're at.
I appreciate your proactive work in trying to get a read from the Coastal Commission and knowing if they would be appealing that county variance if it's granted. I mean, it's good to line up the ducks and know where they're at. Any other questions from the board? Okay, good. Thank you for the report.
Second proposal that they're coming up with. I don't know if you received it from Keith Swanson.
Yes, yes, I did get a copy of that.
I'd like to see staff look at that and any legal opinion we need in order to, you know, get moving toward eventually adopting an ordinance for conservation measures.
I think it's important to move this ahead. In fact, I'd like maybe for the August 30th meeting to have an agenda item brought to us with staff's feelings about just what the repercussions of an ordinance would be. I mean, we're talking serious things like no more car washes for the, you know, the high school kids to raise money, that kind of thing. A lot of things could be affected by this, and we need to be careful about how we do it. But it certainly needs to be done, and sooner rather than later. I appreciate the fact that that committee is bringing ordinances to us, and it certainly takes a little bit of a review before you put them into effect, just so that you know what the impacts are going to be upon the citizens. But it's certainly time. Director Tacker.
I'll just comment on that real quick, just that I think the prudent approach would be to have staff, our general manager, our utilities manager, sort of analyze what it would cost within our district. Do we need a part-time water conservation expert? Do we need someone that's taking data? Whatever the costs to the district are first, then with that knowledge, then we go to the lawyers to bring back an ordinance that would then implement a program. But because, you know, the lawyers cost more than our staff, and the impacts are on the staff. So I think they would generate the first report, and then we choose to move forward with legal counsel on ordinance.
I think you're right on target there. Yeah, first we need to gather the information about what the effect would be to the district and additional staffing for enforcement or whatever else we're going to need. One here from the Finance Committee, and I knew Leon was out of town, I think, this week. Did you have anything, Director Sparks?
There hasn't been a meeting since their last report. There will be a meeting at the end of the month, I believe, on the 30th.
Yes.
I think the chief point will be a discussion of the reserve levels for the district.
Exactly right. And Anna Jane, I know, is planning on being at that meeting. And, overall discussion about reserve levels and policies regarding those reserves. I don't see Martha Golden, Environmental Committee report. Director Tacker, do you have anything to add?
I merely would say she gave a great report last time, but our next meeting is Monday, August 13th at 7 p.m. at the district office.
And anything from the emergency services side?
Again, we haven't met since our last report, but our next meeting is Tuesday, August 21st at 5 p.m. at the fire station.
Thank you. Ad hoc committee reports, I think, down to where county liaison. We have not met with Pablo since our lunch 2 weeks ago, and there's really nothing new there. But we certainly have a lot to talk about in light of last Tuesday's and then the upcoming meeting next Tuesday. So I think we'll be scheduling a meeting soon there. Regional Water Quality Control Board negotiation team. We have not met with the Water Board again recently. Water Resources Advisory Committee, do you have anything for us there?
Yes, the committee met yesterday. However, I was not able to attend. I don't know if Lynette Tornowski attended. Okay, so she may have more to add, but the primary focus, at least in the interest of this community, is the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, which is being used to rate various projects and to select which ones are of significance to being included in the Grant 50 funding, the second round. This is a living document. It's updated, and how it incorporates the same areas. So the things that that rank highest in priority are those areas that have impact to each of these areas of water quality, water supply ecosystem, groundwater, and flood. And I could go in much more detail, and it's late, and I don't think I will, but I will point out that the ranking was made and based on the criteria that this report uses. There are three priorities, and one is considered high ranking, which the Los Osos Sewer Project was in terms of it met four of the five criteria in addressing water supply, water quality, ecosystem improvement, and groundwater enhancement criteria. So it was highly ranked. It's considered the cornerstone project for the Grant 50 funding request. So they're ranked high rank, medium rank, and low rank. Unfortunately, our water system upgrades were, although they were ranked as medium, they were in the lower half, and they didn't make the cut, and so they weren't one of the among the projects that are being recommended for funding under the grant program. But nonetheless, it's good that the wastewater project is going forward as nominated. And I don't know if I'd invite Lynette up to if she has anything to add.
Hi, Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I'll be brief. Time was of the essence, so pretty much the committee had to agree on the rankings that were given. Courtney had a huge display of all these. It was so complex. It was unbelievable. The only thing that got taken off, and it's going to be replaced by...
Thank you. Thank you, Director Sennett. The Morro Bay National Estuary Program Committees meet first week of August. So we'll have an update, maybe not August 2nd, but by the 30th. Litigation Committee, I think the only thing that was new, we heard from Mr. Murphy earlier about the Measure B suit earlier today. LOCAC, I don't see... Yes.
Just one more thing regarding the RAC is that it will not be meeting until September 5th again. So just remember that.
Yes, Mr. Perlman, are you going to bring the LOCAC report to us? Do you want to come up and tell us about that?
Gwen Kaler, I too attended the RAC meeting, and the representative from District 2 announced that a contract is going out for bid for the different, shall we call it, areas in Sunset Terrace for them to have meters on their properties, and they have... After 30 years acquiesced, I guess you might say, that they do need meters on their properties. And so the Homeowners Association, for which there isn't any, according to some people, has decided that they are going to go out for bid for meters for the residents.
Excellent.
And that was announced by the representative from the 2nd District.
I guess if you want Enterties and to be able to use someone else's deionization process, you need meters. Excellent. Okay, now the LOCAC report. Alon, thank you for your patience.
Thank you. I am a member of LOCAC, and it's a short report. I'd like to remind everybody that Thursday, the 26th, will be a LOCAC meeting here in this location, and it's probably going to be a lively one, as they always are. And I believe it will be televised, as and I believe all of them will be. So that's that element of the report. I'd also like to let the audience at home know, as we have said several times, Judy Vick is the future of Los Osos, and please do complete the surveys. More information is on the LOCAC, L-O-C-A-C, .us website. So thank you very much for the report. Oh, I am, by the way, a member of the Environmental Committee. I did turn down an opportunity to be vice president. I cannot give a report on that committee because I'm not authorized to do so. My report today on LOCAC was authorized by Keith Swanson. Thank you.
Do you have anything about why you expect a lively meeting, agenda item that you might want to drop on us for next Thursday?
It wouldn't be a teaser otherwise.
Maybe you just don't have that good a teaser. Okay. General Management Reorganization and Recruitment Ad Hoc Committee. We have received three applications so far. San Diego, Vermont, and I think Eastern California, where they come from so far. And so next week, we expect to be starting the first of the phone interviews to see if we especially want to have someone come all the way from Vermont to interview in person. That's a commitment, and we don't want to enter into that one lightly. TAC fine screening, water reuse, and disposal analysis.
We'll be meeting again tomorrow to further discuss our capital projects in relation to the fine screening report level 3, level 4 options. And there was a meeting on July 9th with the purveyors and the county. I was not able to attend, and I want to thank Director Tacker for being able to attend, as well as Director Sennett, and perhaps either one of them want to give a brief report from that meeting.
Did you have anything for us? Oh, he handled the last one. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it felt like a bit of an extension of the purveyor meeting of the 29th of June, and Mr. Milanis was there, John Seitz was there, Rob Miller was there, myself and Director Sennett representing our district, and four representatives from Golden State, two from S&T, and I think I counted 10 from the county when you get all the legals in the room and the planners in the room, and it was quite a crowd. We had to scramble for more chairs. But the fine screening report was touched on, and each purveyor went through their progress in their settling our adjudication is near. And so we hope to see that soon. And like Joe said, your ad hoc committee is going to meet tomorrow, but I think it was a good meeting overall, about 2 hours of hashing out and talking about good basin management. So it's a good meeting.
Good, good. Cooperation's been something that's been needed for a while. Okay, at this point, we'll take public comment on the reports and consent calendar items, which basically consist of receiving the reports and then again acting on the second reading and adoption of the ordinance amending the Mission Country Disposal solid waste rates and charges in our agreement with Mission Country. And Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, George Taylor, Los Osos. I want to commend you on the decision to take down the fence on Tri-W. But I do have a concern, and that is as far as the grading to be done there once that fence is taken down, because you do have a potential problem. If you leave the berm the way it is, it's created a lake, which is dangerous. That's a liability to the district. But if the grading is done to get rid of that that pond there, there's a lot of water that comes down off of Palisades, and off of Palisades, and there's a drain just right opposite, just up about 300 feet to the west, and before the grading was ever done on Tri-W, there was a quite a gully there, and you're going to have a gully again if the grading is not done properly. And if you get a gully, you're going to have water running down into places where it hasn't run before, and it's going to run onto somebody else's property. You have another liability. So I think that before you do anything, you had...
I have listened to a lot of people that said they wanted that fence down, but maybe not for the reason you guys are concerned about, and they're four-wheelers. That's right. They want to get on that property and do that. So I would say that to be very wary how you do it and how soon you grade it. I'm sure you got your T's crossed and your I's dotted on permits for the grading, and that you've talked to everybody, the Coastal Commission and all that, on that subject, because I haven't heard anything about that. So hopefully that you don't start grading, the next thing you know, you have somebody saying stop. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there. But be very careful how you begin that. You may want to just do it in phases and sections, because there are people out there who are willing to risk a ticket and have the law chasing them around to run their four-wheel drives out there just because it looks like it would be fun. And public needs to be reminded that regardless if what it looks like now or what it may look out like after the grading, that still is considered ESHA, and that they could be doing a lot more harm to the property than what's been done to it already if we do get it level. What I don't see, that's a big hole in the ground. I think I need to sneak in there and get some video of that before you guys do level that off for my next video. You know, the crater in Los Osos, and maybe not sneak on, but maybe shoot through the fence or something. But it does make for a good video and maybe good drama, as they say in some places. I'll put some voiceovers from people from the community, what they think about the big hole in the middle of town. Other than that, do you want your flood control and your drainage done correctly? And I trust George to be able to do that right. So thank you.
Thank you for the comment about the off-road vehicles. I hadn't really even thought about that, except that I know that that whole area has been used a lot in the years since I've lived here, and it's totally inappropriate, and I've been in my share of near fights over it through the years. Yeah. But thank you for bringing that up. Yes.
Lindy Owen, I was wondering what happened with the restoration bond that was supposed to have been put on that. What I see as a problem is I think the county might be involved a little bit too, because they were trying to get, was it Broderson or... one of the roads they were going to try to be, if it were not to be used as a sewer site, needs to be brought in to do some of the grading. And I think the grading should be considered the stormwater runoff grading that we might want in the future, because what we had there was a fairly good situation with a small amount of siltation going down. But the construction on Ravina, that section has, I mean, I walk there almost every day, and it's, I swear to God, it's a minimum of 5 feet deeper. And so I think you're going to have a lot of problems. And I would have to agree with the off-road. That's just inviting off-roaders. I don't know if there's ways that you could block, you know, keep the fence on the front and block some of those areas off. I would like to see the fence gone. I think it's just it's a mess. I mean, it's all fallen down in the back and all that. But I would say rather than have one big ditch, we need to actually think of a drainage system to get us through for a few years. And I would support that whoever put up that bond come in and fix it. Thanks.
Al Barrow, Los Osos. I just would like to just tag on to that issue, and I think you could post that site. The site is owned by the district. You should have authority over it. You should be able to post it without having some kind of thing. And, you know, you could even specify a penalty for violating that. And I think that would be a good way of protecting the site. The other thing I wanted to go over is Mr. Sennett made a report on the RAC, and I don't know if the RAC talked about it, but I handed it, Pavo, a notice from Senator Peralta, who is proposing a $5 billion water bond, $2 billion of which would be dedicated to the IRM regional water management. I don't know if you've heard of that, Steve, or if they've discussed it. But that was released on Monday by Senator Peralta. So they plan to have a bond next year for $5 billion. And that was the Democrat answer to Schwarzenegger's proposal for $6 billion for reservoirs, water reservoirs. But the benefit would be that the individual locations would have more local control over how they were going to handle that money and what they were going to do. So that would fall under Prop 84, I believe, is what they're going to do. And I don't know how that relates. Using a big reservoir, as the governor would propose.
I'm not familiar enough to speak about it. And I, like I said, I wasn't at the meeting, and I'm not aware.
Well, it's something that...
It wasn't on the agenda.
It's something that should be brought up at RAC, that there is a $5 billion plan to fund the IRMs.
Yeah, if that was just introduced Monday, I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for discussing that before it's implemented. But that's hopeful.
Yeah, I think so.
Any additional public comment on the consent calendar or committee reports?
This is a eucalyptus, small eucalyptus. It's, to my knowledge, the only eucalyptus growing currently inside the Tri-W site. A short one. Jurassic Park, the statement in Jurassic Park is nature has its way. Well, nature has its way. There are no trees large enough to support raptors, but the library has some trees, and there are raptors in the trees at the library, and those raptors overlook the Tri-W site with keen interest because they appear to be, and I'm not familiar with the species, there appear to be several pairs of nesting doves, apparently, or some other, you know, birds down there. So that is that's nice to see, but it also has a tremendous amount of native habitat, and some people think this is non-native habitat somehow. There is a letter to the editor in the Bay News, page 4, by Nancy Rule. Native versus non-native trees. Smells pretty good. Main reason I came up here, though, was to talk about committees, and the wastewater committee is amazingly good, but there's the environmental committee, of which I'm a member, consists mostly of new members, and that's a great thing, and they've already managed to do a few good things, and they have... Judge Golding, and she's very good at herding cats, so I think that's going to be a committee that's going to do real well, and quite possibly some of the questions, even though it's a new, inexperienced committee, perhaps that committee could look at the fencing, as Lindy mentioned, the fencing is probably an issue for you. There's probably some legal issues as regards in following the rules and bylaws, particularly as it applies to the purview of the committee, and those rules are simply there to help the committee be efficient and to provide the rest of the community with the best efforts of those people who volunteer. And so the August 13 is the Environmental Committee, and I invite members of the public to attend. Thank you very much.
Additional public comment on the consent calendar and committee reports.
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. The Tri-W site you remember if maybe 6-8 months ago, a year ago, the gentleman that came in said his friend caught West Nile disease from mosquito bites that grew in the pond there. We ended up with a clay-lined pond when the spillway washed out from the collection there at Palisades. I wonder if we could possibly scrape that clay layer off of that and maybe mix it with some compost and use it for topsoil somewhere else. But the point being to get rid of the clay lens there that forms the pond rather than a sediment basin, which used to work to feed part of the feed to Sweet Springs was in that sand. I walked that area the day after that spillway washed out there and tried to get some pictures of it through the fence where the clay lenses were sand and then clay and then sand and clay or topsoil, whatever you want to call it. It was finer, less permeable soil in layers down through that. You can still see that, quite a geology lesson there. I walked all the way down to see how far the water went, and it just reached the dead end street that dead ends just above the block wall of the mobile home park there. It didn't go towards the mobile home any more towards the mobile home park. It headed towards that street. So that is farther than it used to wash down before the excavation there. I'd like to see the catch basin for the water that comes down Palisades and crosses there. I'd like to see some sort of a spillway there with to spread the water. I don't know the man's name, but if I see him again, I'll find out more. And I'd be glad to see that fence gone. The same day I walked that out after that spillway washed out, there was a four-wheel drive come down Palisades and went up around. So they crossed just the other side of this street. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, additional public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board and entertain a motion.
I move we approve the committee reports and the rural administrative reports, written reports, and our consent calendar.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Okay. Do we need a...
We're approving the ordinance,
That's right. So we need a voice
we
vote.
We do need a roll call vote.
That's right.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Sparks?
Yes.
President Cesena?
Yes. And thank you for catching that. Okay. Before closing board comments, I want you to notice that next month we're going to meet on the 2nd, which would be our regularly scheduled meeting. And then again on the 30th, we're going to skip the mid-month, the third week meeting, due to some scheduling conflicts. It just was necessary to push it out to the 30th. But what we're going to do is continue the meeting from the 2nd until the 30th so that we have general public comment at both meetings, rather than have a regular meeting and then a special meeting next month. It'll be a continued regular meeting and more opportunity for public comment. So any closing board comments for tonight?
I have a scheduling question.
Yes.
Next Tuesday, the 24th of July, is the level severity 3 discussion at the Board of Supervisors. Is that something that the majority of the board will be in attendance and perhaps we need a special meeting called?
I can imagine that at least 3 of us will probably be there. And I suppose rather than push it and make sure that we all sit 30 feet apart and don't make eye contact, it would be safest to post that as adjourned meeting for the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday. Some just more special than others. None are less special. Okay, closing board comments. Who wants to go first? Director Sparks?
I want to thank Mr. Milanis. I think particularly with Anna Jane on part-time or less, his role is going to be significant, and not only with the iBank, which we expect and hope to get, we also have to look ahead into a water rate study that will also, I think, have to look into scenarios for additional capital projects that we're going to need as well to help deal with our water issues and seawater mitigation. I attended the TAC meeting this week, and I think the process is going well. I appreciate the county's effort. As everybody knows, there was a hearing or this week at the county. They talked on the assessment options. I think everybody realizes it's not a perfect scenario for an assessment, but the county is following the plan that they have laid out, and they are adhering to that. The options, you know, we'd all like more work to be done, I think, before we were to be assessed. We'd really like to have detailed design done before we ever assess ourselves, but I don't think that's practical. We'd like the county taxpayers to front more money before we had an assessment. Again, there's a practicality and an issue of the, you know, the county putting that burden countywide to fund, go out on a limb and fund more money for our issue. You know, separate assessment votes, seemingly assessment vote for design or further study, and then followed by a another assessment vote for construction, in theory sounds good, but again, that has the potential for going further down the road and then creating another assessment that could fail. It's not necessarily the best scenario. The scenario we have is what we have, and I'm reminded again, before the recall, we had homeowners clamoring for an assessment for approval, and after the recall, we had seemingly different homeowners clamoring for, you know, where's the assessment to get a vote at that time. And that's what we're going to get. The homeowners are going to get the choice, and that choice will have consequences. And I'm looking forward.
A great experience that I got to have last Thursday night. I don't know if you all remember, but last week, there were probably 3 days in the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, my recollection, were the best weather we've seen in our community ever, I think ever. And really beautiful, beautiful evenings. And Thursday night was the special LOCAC meeting, and James Crusoe was in town, and I was torn but couldn't make it, because I was very fortunate and was able to cruise outside of Morro Bay with the Coastal Commission. The commissioners were hosted by the county and the city of Morro Bay on the Papagallo. It's a yacht out that does some charter stuff in the bay, great food and wine. And the Coastal Commissioners, probably about seven of them, rode the Morro Bay trolley from the Embassy Suites Hotel, where they'd been camped all week, and got to go on this little boat ride. And because the waters were like glass, we were able to go outside the harbor, which I haven't done since I was a little girl. And then we actually got to whale watch and see humpback whales just off the coast doing what humpback whales do. And like I said, the weather was incredible. The sights were incredible. The mix of people was incredible with coastal commissioners. Three supervisors were there, representatives from the city of Morro Bay, staff members, and a very select few public who happened to call for reservations. I was one of them that got to go out there. And let me tell you, I know why they fight for the coast. Looking back at what we have is beautiful. It's incredible.
and of course it's worth preserving. So I just wanted to share that. And Mr. Sparks just touched on the subject that was before the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. And if you weren't watching or weren't paying attention, Earth being their contribution to the water supply problem, their contribution to the habitat conservation problem, and their contribution to their wastewater, their share of the wastewater project. So I do have concerns that this once again divides our community, separating property owners into different classes, and these vacant properties will be part of the solution. And I've always said that we need them in the economies of scale. The project before us, no matter what it is going to be costly. It's a big project. And the Tri-W project documented last revenue plan $205 a month for the average homeowner. And then they showed over projection over time as development occurred that the rate would go down to $157 a month. So nearly $50 a month more to those people that live here now, because those that don't live here and can't hook up and can't build their homes can't help pay for the wastewater project. And I am disappointed that there's this two-prong approach. I think we are in this together, and then of course I'm completely baffled by the 218 vote coming before the project description, before a project site is located. That has been the controversy all along, is its location. And you know, I have great concern that this will not pass unless we have a defined project before us. And even vacant property owners want to say in where that project goes and what that project is and what that project costs. And so to separate us just further divides our community, and I think we have way too many divisions already. But we are united by one basin and the desire to have a solution, and that really was my message to the Board of Supervisors, that's why you elected me. So that's what I believe anyway. So thank you and good night.
Director Sennett.
Well, last weekend, Saturday, I think a lot of people heard that Sunset Terrace had a community garage sale. And my wife and daughter just, they said they were going to go, and I thought this was something that I should probably oversee, because they'd come back with a lot of junk that I didn't want to see at home. So I went with them, and I kind of enjoyed it because I talked to people in the community, and the people I happened to talk to, inevitably you talk, people recognize you and you talk to them. And these people were very skeptical. They just said, not going to vote for 218. And I thought, you know, that they disengage from the process. And I would remind people like that they need to stay involved in this process and see it through. I think we remember what happened when the last citizens group were skeptical of the county process, and what they morphed it into is a horror story for our community at this point. And so I guess that's my message, is the county's approach is very institutional, and if you think you just want to disengage right now without giving them some credit and at least input into it before you make a decision, I think you've done yourself and your community a disservice. So that's my message tonight. Give it a chance. And I probably should have stayed home because I let my daughter talk me into getting a drum set.
Lots to say. Garage sales. We raised another $1,400 a week ago Saturday, and no more garage sales at my house. But it was a good cause and well worth it. Assessment vote. I thought it was a pretty good solution that was offered up to have a two-stage assessment with the environmental analysis. I went to the LOCAC meeting. Didn't get to go cruising with the Coastal Commission. That was a disappointing presentation on our water supply and vested subdivisions that can't be fought, and regardless of how long individual lot owners have been waiting to develop. That was really a sad evening. I did get to spend some good time with the Coastal Commission at the EcoSlow reception last week and had a very interesting lunch with Steve Monowitz during one of the days that the commission was meeting. One of the things that was pointed out is that it was confirmed that the Tri-W permit is in the hands of the CSD. It was granted to the CSD. It expires next month. We have to request the extension. We'll see what happens. And save water and be kind to each other. We've got an incredibly intense 3 months coming up around here. And so let's just remember to be kind to each other no matter which side of the fence we're on. And we will get through this, and good night. Meeting.